We're going to be in Malachi today. It's a standalone sermon. Next week, we're going to do our state of a church where we talk about what we've accomplished through the help of you guys and mainly through the help of Christ and also our goals, our things we've been praying about for next year. And so that's what next week's going to be. And then we're going to go into the Lord's Prayer. We looked at that a little bit in Matthew, but we're going to break it down a little bit deeper and look at what that really says in the wording and the verbiage that Jesus used when he taught his disciples, you and I, how to pray. But today we're going to be in Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, so if you don't know where that's at, go to Matthew, turn like one or two pages back from the start of Matthew, and you should be there. Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Open your Bibles in front if you want to. I have it on the screen to look at in a minute, but I don't have it on an insert. The insert within your bulletin, though, does have spots for you to fill in the blanks, take notes, that sort of thing, if you'd like to, if you're so inclined. But the passage of Scripture that we're about to look at today is encouraging. It's also, for me, familiar, I guess, and that's why I wanted to share it. You see, the nation of Israel at the time of the writing of Malachi had strayed far from God. Evil abounded in the land. Unbelief was pretty common. The majority of people went their own sinful ways. They gave little thought to the will of God or the ways of God. It really was a lot like the generation we live in today. I mean, it looks really quite similar, and I hope that you will see that. And I hope that perhaps you will see yourself in all of this as we look at how to be faithful no matter what. Faithful even in a faithless or a faith-struggling nation or world, because we live in that too. That's where they found themselves in the book of Malachi, the people of Israel, the believers of the early times. With this in mind, listen to this. God speaks to them through the prophet Malachi. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15 to begin with. "You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord, yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it." Or in some versions, they escape. Kind of looks like today, huh? We look around and we think, gosh, how did they get away with this? How is this happening? How are they changing that law or banning this from school or allowing that in school? Or how they, you know, it seems like the evildoers are prospering. It seems like the wrongdoers are winning. Remember, as we talk about this today and as you journey through life, that this isn't the end of the story. They don't win. It might look like that. They might look like they're having their heyday. It's the faithful that win. It's the faithful that won then. It's the faithful that win today. And so remain faithful despite the faithless world we live in. But to put it bluntly, what these people were saying was that, God, you're insignificant. You can't do anything in today's world. You know, you don't matter. They were ignoring him. They were going about everything they were doing as if he was completely unimportant. And it sounds like so many of us today, including myself at many different times. But remember, back in the beginning of their nation, their forefathers, as they were settling into the promised land, Joshua was their leader. And if you remember, he challenged them about where their faith was, because they were founded, their foundation, their beginning was on God, was believers and followers of God. Joshua puts it this way as he challenges those first believers as to who they're going to follow. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." He challenges the early believers, the Israelites, as to what they're going to do with this, because they have to make a decision, kind of like you and I do every single day. Who are we going to follow? What are we going to do? We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know what we ought to do. And they quickly followed with this response. Here is their response. "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt. from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Important to understand that, because that was their foundation. As you look at these believers in the book of Malachi, that was their founding fathers. That was their forefathers many years before. Kind of like we find ourselves in a spot many years after our forefathers, with a crossroads, if you will. We stand at a place where they're forgetting what we were founded on and going a different direction. And that's where the people of Malachi, the people of God's day in the book of Malachi, the Israelites found themselves as well. And so he shares this how everybody's rebelling and they're going their own way. You said harsh things against me, says the Lord. You know, you said it's futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out these requirements? You know, now we call the arrogant blessed, and certainly evildoers prosper. And he goes on and on and on. And it sounds familiar, and it sounds like what we're going through, but there's a rest of the story to this, and there's a rest of the story for us as well. The next few verses of Malachi tell something completely different. Moving on to verses 16 through 18. This is what it says. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in the presence concerning, in his presence, excuse me, the Lord's presence, concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, and he will act, on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Very powerful section of scripture, a lot of stuff in it. I want us to look and see a few things in it, and then I want us to see how we can learn from these early followers some things for ourselves. The first thing I see in this passage was this: even in the midst of a faithless generation, a faithless world that they lived in, there were the faithful. Even in the midst of the world that they lived in, even though all around them people were doing what was wrong, they were turning their backs on the Lord, they were doing what they pleased, they were following their own ways, they were chasing after their own gods, there was a faithful remnant, there was a faithful people. And the same has been true throughout history. And the same is true today. There is a faithful remnant. There is a faithful people that, despite what's going on in the world, despite what laws are being made, what rules are being changed, what is happening, what is going on, there is a people who are remaining true to the Lord. You need to understand that. You need to remember that as you journey through this thing called life. It can be difficult. It can be look like the evildoers are prospering, that the wicked are winning, like this is happening. There's an end to the story. There's the rest of the story. And we get to know that once we meet him. We don't know that until then. Until then, we're just called to be faithful, despite what's going on around us. And that's a cool thing that we see in this passage, is we find a group of people, albeit a minority probably, faithful, even though they're around people who didn't support their faith. There may not have been many of them in comparison to a whole nation, but they committed themselves to the things of God. No matter what anyone else said or did, they surrounded themselves with one another and with the things that mattered. Even though spiritual darkness was around them, all those temptations, just like there are today, with whatever those things might be, they might look a little bit different today, but they've always been there. Things that would tempt us, things that would take us away from the things of the Lord, they shied away from those things and they stayed faithful. They stayed focused. And as we look through this message today, this is a question I want you to ask yourself. If the Lord can look down on a people, a minority, a few in a large amount, and recognize them, and hear what they say, and respond to what they say, and say, I will remember them, and say, they will be my treasure possession. Think about that today as he looks down on you and he looks down on me. Because I assure you he sees, and I assure you he hears, and I assure you he documents what he sees and what he hears. But what is he recording and what are we saying? What they were saying is, we're with you. We're faithful no matter what's going on. What does your life story say? What is 2016 going to say for you? It doesn't matter what 2015 said, that's over. You can't fix that or change that. It might have been a cruddy year for your faith. I'm sorry. Fix that, though. Do something different about it in 2016. Despite what's going on in your under your house or in your workplace or in your neighborhood or in this community, be faithful to the Lord. That's a choice that you and I get to make. It's a difficult one. It's a challenging one. But he's looking down and he's watching and he responds to you if you will do that. I believe that. That's what the second point of what we see in this passage is. What amazed me when I read this scripture was that God heard them. Of all the kings who were making edicts or judges who were hearing things or politicians who were making speeches, all the same junk we have today, out of all of that, he heard his people talking about him because that mattered to him. You see, all the noise in the world can't stop the maker of heaven and earth, the maker, the creator of you, his child who he loves dearly and has a plan for. None of that can drown out when one of his children cry out, when one of them pause and say, Lord, we need your help. Help us in this situation with our child, with our marriage, with our work, with whatever it might be. God heard them. That ought to be incredibly inspiring to you. It's incredibly inspiring to me because sometimes I wonder if anybody hears me, especially if you got kids. Does anybody hear me? God hears you, even if you're in the minority, even if you're not fitting in with what's going on around you. If you're talking about him and the things of him, he listens. The interesting thing about that passage that he hears is we think, well, they must have been praying. And of course, he hears them because they're praying. And he promises us if we pray, then he hears us. But they weren't praying. The scripture actually says in verse 16 that those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. That's what they did. They talked with each other like we're doing today. Like you might do at home around the table. Or you might do it lunch today, wherever you're going to go. The Lord listened. They talked about him, and he listened, and he heard. That's incredible to think about, that he would hear our voice through all of the craziness, that he would want to hear it, but that he would, and he would respond to it, even though they were just a small group. God was paying attention to his faithful remnant, because God always pays attention to his faithful remnant. The question is, are we part of that faithful remnant in a faithless, in a faith-struggling generation? All that was going on, and he heard, he listened. The third thing is this we learn, is the Lord enjoyed what he heard so much that he had it written down. Malachi tells us that the Lord enjoyed what he heard so much that what he did was he had it written in a book, and what it's called specifically is a scroll of remembrance. If you're looking at your passage here in Malachi, it's called a scroll of remembrance. The picture you get here is that God's like looking down and he's listening to his remnant. He's listening to his followers, his faithful. And he likes so much what he hears that he wants it documented. So he probably calls over an angel or whatever he does. I don't know, maybe a secretary, whatever he's got, you know. But he has this all written down to be remembered and to be used for them. They will be my people. This will be, this will once again reveal to you the difference between the righteous and the wicked. That's what he says in his word. Because of these words. Now, there's beauty and there's not beauty in the fact that he hears what we say and he records what we say. Right? So a lot of us have said things that we don't want him to record and we don't want him to remember. But we can fix those things. We can ask for forgiveness for those things. But everything we say and do is, in fact, recorded. And that's important to understand because some people think that God's so big and so disconnected and so out there that he's not my personal God. But he is absolutely a personal God that cares about you individually, that hears your voice, that knows your voice, that knows your plans, that knows your cries, that knows your pains, that knows your struggles. And we have to remember that as we journey through life. A scroll of remembrance was written. This was so important that God, the Lord Almighty, says, jot this down. Write this down, what these people are saying. I want to remember this. This is going to be forever, forever written down. The fourth thing is this. The Lord said that they would be his treasure possession. The word treasure possession is interesting. The Hebrew word translated is segula, And what it literally means is jewels. And so what the Lord's saying here in this passage is these faithful people, these few who are obeying me, following me, trying their hardest, they will be my jewels. The Lord Almighty made everything. Made everything, owner of everything, in charge of everything, in control of everything. He says, these people who are talking about me in a faithless generation, in a faithless world, in a struggling place, they will be my jewels. They will be my treasure. I will remember them forever. Just ponder that for a second. Ponder that and ask yourself, does that want to make your behavior be different in 2016? Knowing that he looks down upon us and he listens and he records and he responds and he remembers and most importantly, he rewards at some point. I know it might take a while and it might seem like we're never going to get there, but it will come if we're his faithful remnant. He calls us his jewels, his treasured possession. And God makes the meaning very, very clear by saying this at the end of Malachi there in verse 18. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. The Lord wants to make it crystal clear. And in light of that clarity, I don't know about you, but I want to be considered one of his jewels. I want to be considered one of his treasured possessions. And you have that opportunity, and I have that opportunity. The choice is ours. Whether he looks down this morning and sees you as a treasure is up to you. He loves you, and he has a plan for you. The question is whether we're responding to him and being faithful in a faithless generation, in a faithless world. Now, here's the things that I think we can glean from these early believers, these faithful people here, because we need to understand this. They remained true to God was the first thing that they did. They were faithful to him despite what was going on. They feared the Lord. They held him in awe because they remained true to him. It was a time when it wasn't easy to follow him, wasn't easy to be a believer, wasn't easy. It's not easy today. It's never going to be easy. It's always going to cost you something. Hypocrisy abound, evil abound, all that stuff abound in that day, just like it does today. We could very easily look at this passage and say this is talking about today. But it's never been easy, but this remnant said, even though everybody else curses God, we will praise his name. That's what they said. They stood for righteousness in a wicked nation. They endured the ridicule, perhaps the family and friends. And God looked down on this small group of faithful ones and said, they will be my treasure because they remained true to him. Are you and I willing to stand for righteousness even when we live in a wicked nation that tells us differently? Even when it seems like we're in a minority, what will we do with that? You know, back in 1947, a professor at the University of Chicago was scheduled to teach an advanced course of astrophysics. I've taught that a couple of times. But anyway, he's a University of Chicago teacher, but he was living at the time in Wisconsin. So at the time, he's living in Wisconsin doing research, and he planned on commuting twice a week for this class, even though it would be held during the harsh winter months. Registration for this class, however, fell far below the expectations, and only two students signed up for the class. Now, most people expected the professor would cancel the class, he'll waste his time driving 100 miles round trip in the weather for two kids, but he didn't. He put on all of his classes, and these two students came every week, and they did all of their homework, and 10 years later, in 1957, those two students won the Nobel Peace Prize for physics. Pretty amazing story. What's more amazing is in 1983, so did the professor. They were only a handful of people, just a handful. And yet they made a difference in the world. And the Bible tells us, God said that even where two or more gather in my name for my business, I will be there with them. You see, even a handful of us can not only make a difference in the world, we can change the world for the things of Christ. He promises that. More than a professor could, more than some students could. We're believers in God Almighty. God said, even where two or more gather. Remember that as you grow weary in getting together with your small group, as you grow weary with maybe Bible study with some friends, remember that God sees, God will reward, and God can do great things through your faithfulness. It's up to you and I to remain faithful. Frederick the Great was a ruler of Prussia in the mid-1700s, and he was widely known as an agnostic. By contrast, though, his great general, von Zeeland, was a devout Christian. One day during a festive gathering, the king began making crude jokes about Jesus Christ and Christianity, and everyone started mocking and laughing with him. Perhaps you've been in a situation like that where it's kind of uncomfortable, and you know, you're a Christian, and people are kind of being, you know, not so good, and it's kind of awkward and out of place for you. That's where he found him place here, and they're rocking with laughter and rolling around. Everyone but von Zeeland, that is, because he was a devout Christian. Finally, von Zeeland arose, and he addressed the king, and he said, "Sire, you know I have feared death, or excuse me, you know I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man, and I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. I salute you, sire, as an old man who loves his Savior, standing on the edge of eternity." And you have to stop for a minute and imagine that moment. He's in front of the king. It's death to go against the king. It's just not something you do. I mean, we're worried about our friends ridiculing us if we proclaim our faith. Heaven forbid we show our faith at work and somebody makes fun of us. This general was facing death if he did this act that he did. And the place went silent, and with trembling voice, King Frederick replied, "General von Zeeland, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon." And with that, the party quietly ended. Just like that. Because someone stood for their faith. Just a small number. But they didn't care about the consequence. They didn't care about the fact that all that was around them was faithless. They were going to be a faithful remnant. They were going to honor the Lord. They were going to bring glory to him. They were going to be willing to talk about him. Are you and I willing to talk about him? You see, I think that's what kept those guys going in the book of Malachi that we see, those early followers. I think the reason why they gathered together and talked was because they were probably encouraging one another about what the Lord had done for them, how he got them through this and how he got them through that, and how he answered this prayer and how he provided this for them and that for them. And that probably is what got them through that difficult time they faced as a minority. And that's why you and I need to talk about him. That's one of the things that we learn from these early group of followers, is we need to talk about him. Others need to hear about him, but even beyond that, we need to hear about him. You know, you can tell what someone loves by what they talk about. If you're around someone who's a football fan, what do they talk about? They talk about football. And perhaps you're married to someone like that, and that's all they talk about. Or maybe it's fantasy football, or maybe it's golf, or maybe it's whatever it is, hunting, or whatever it is for you. But people who fall in love with something like that, and who, you know, just adore it and want to do it and are excited about it and engaged in it, they want to talk about it. It's like when you get married and, you know, you say I do, and you take those vows and you make those commitments, and you want to just spend the rest of your life together and share everything you've got with one another. And in the same way, those who commit their lives to Christ, who become part of his bride, the church, want to be together and share all that they have with each other. It's a natural thing. We should long to do that. When we truly love the Lord and know him as our Lord and Savior, we want to talk about him. We want to tell others of what he's done, what he's doing in our lives, what he means to us. And we want to be with others and hear about what he's doing for them as well. So think about this year. As you talk about the weather and the sports, which there's nothing wrong with those things, or whatever it is you talk about, mix in what God's done for you. Let your friends and family know that this is an important topic for you, what God's doing in your life, and ask them what he's doing in theirs. And if they don't know him, tell them what he might be able to do for them if they chase after him like you do. The world needs us to talk about him. And he's looking for his faithful remnant to be unashamed to talk about him, even in a faithless world. The third thing is this: they honored him. To honor someone, to honor something, is to remember them. They remembered what God had done for them. He brought them out of that place. He brought them out of that wilderness, out of that desert. He brought them through so many different things, and they didn't forget that. What's he brought you through? And it's so easy to forget because we get so caught up in this world and so busy with the other things that we forget what God has done for us. And to honor him is to remember what he's done. Because even though it's been a long years, many years ago since I turned my life around and my wife and I decided to do things differently, it's fresh in my mind what it used to be like. We cannot forget where we used to be, what we used to be, and what the Lord has done. When we do that, we honor him. Here's my challenge to you. The truth is that the Lord loves you. The Lord has a plan for you. He created you. You're his child. The question is whether, as he looks down on us today, and he is, don't kid yourself, whether he sees a faithful remnant of his, that he can record your life and be proud of it, that you're honoring him with what you say and do, that you're remembering all that he's done in your life, and you're out there telling other people about that so that they might know him too. That's the encouragement. That's the challenge for you in 2016 to do that. You see, a small group of people can make a difference in the world, but believers, faithful people in the Lord can change the world. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to be people that treasure you, that honor you, that remember you, that celebrate you, that follow you and worship you. Lord God, it's so easy to forget what you've done for us. It's so easy to get caught up in what everybody else is saying and doing in this world that we forget our roots, we forget our foundation, we forget where we came from. And Father, where we came from is you. You breathed life into us. You gave us this life to honor and to live for you. Not about what we can get here or how we can make it better for us. Father, just like those people in Malachi, those faithful followers who were surrounded by people who were losing their faith and going different directions, we might see ourselves there today, but we have a choice. We have a choice to rally together and be the people of you, to talk about you, to remember you, to honor you, to celebrate you, and to teach others about you. Father, help us to do that despite what we're around, despite who's around us, because you deserve it. Father, we love you. Thank you for what you've done. Allow each one in this room to make the decision that they need to make, whether it's a first-time one or just a decision to come back to you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.